Hello, my name's Tom Boone.
And I'm Joanna Bailey.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Simple Flying Podcast, where we'll give you the lowdown on the latest news from the world of commercial aviation. Here's what we've got for you this week.
Coming up today, I'll take a look at the latest engine headache for Airbus airplanes, while Tom tells us about a lonely lion rescued by Qatar Airways.
Joe will see why a startup airline is having to change its name, while I look at how you can get your hands on a piece of the very first Emirates Airbus A380.
Finally, I'll round up some barking mad stories from the past couple of weeks.
So now you know what's in store, let's get on with the show. And Joe, tell me about the new problem.
It's like the Dreamliner story all over again,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about Pratt & Whitney engine issues over the past year. You know, they've been experiencing less time on wing than expected, more in-flight shutdowns. And then, of course, the supply chain problem that's seen shop visits taking, you know, 6, 7, 8 times longer than usual and has caused some airlines to turn to wet lease to maintain capacity. Well, last July, you may remember, we heard of another potential issue with Pratt & Whitney's geared turbofan or GTF engine. Something to do with cracks in engine components sounds pretty scary. But at the time, the news was fairly downplayed. It was thought to only affect a kind of small subset of the engine customers. At the time, there was talk of around 200 engines requiring accelerated inspections, but it wasn't expected to have a major impact on aviation. Now, however, RTX has unveiled the scale of the problem, and it's big. So RTX, by the way, is the new name for Raytheon, which is the parent company of Pratt & Whitney. And earlier this week, RTX disclosed that the rare manufacturing flaw it had identified last July could be a lot worse than we originally thought. In fact, it could ground hundreds of Airbus jets over the next coming couple of years. The problem essentially, you know, I'm not going to go into the technicalities because I'm not that sort of person, but it's a rare metal powder defect that can lead to cracks in engine components. And on Monday, RTX said it might have to pull around 600 to 700 of its Pratt & Whitney geared turbofan engines from Airbus A320neos for quality inspections over the next 3 years. Estimates suggest that the fault could ground an average of 350 aircraft a year through to 2026. Worryingly, there could be as many as 650 jets sitting idle in the first half of 2024. RTX had initially estimated that the repair work on any affected engines would last 60 days, but now, having learned a bit more about the problem, it's expected to take up to 300 days. That's a long time in aviation.
Well, that's almost a year in general.
It is,
exactly. It's a long time in not aviation.
Yeah, it's a long time for anyone. But they said that they'd found these microscopic contaminants in a powdered metal that's used in the high-pressure turbine discs. And the presence of those contaminants could lead to cracks in the engine. If the engines are affected, it will involve replacing the discs, which requires removing the engine, completely disassembling and reassembling it. And it affects most of the engines made between 2015 and 2021. RTX reckons it's going to cost it $3 billion. But what about the problem for the airlines? Well, I had a look at CH Aviation, and it shows that there were almost 800 A320neos that took their first flights between 2015 and 2021 with the GTF engine. They are operated by some of the world's biggest and most well-known airlines, you know, to name a few: Lufthansa, Wizz Air, Spirit, JetBlue, Turkish, ANA, the list goes on. In response to journalist questions, a few airlines have spoken out. Air New Zealand, for example, says the issue is likely to have a significant impact on flight schedules from January onwards. Lufthansa reckons 20 of its A320neos could be grounded at any time. Wizz reckons that it'll take a 10% capacity hit in the second half of 2024. And Spirit yesterday issued a downgraded investors guidance for the end of 2023 and says it has already had to ground 7 A320neos for the rest of this year. So RTX has promised to compensate affected airlines. I don't know whether that is accounted for in the $3 billion hit that it's already announced. But, you know, it's going to be looking at compensating for loss of earnings, loss of use. You know, there's so many things that are going to affect what the airlines are doing. It's going to be a really expensive mistake. And, you know, it just seems like Pratt & Whitney doesn't go a month without finding something else or an existing problem becoming a lot worse than it was. So, stressful times over at Pratt & Whitney, I'd say.
Yeah, well, stressful times for me as well, because I've got a Air New Zealand A320 booking in January, so hopefully I'm not one of those cancelled flights. But, you know, I'm looking at it, and it's you know, when the 737 MAX was grounded, everyone was having a sort of similar reaction, and, you know, the industry got through it, so...
They did. Oh, they'll get through this too. Yeah, it's just another hiccup they don't need at a time when, you know, capacity is barely keeping up with the demand. So, yeah, hopefully it's resolved before 2026. And hopefully there's not too many narrow bodies grounded at once.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I actually can't think of an amazing segue for my next part today. So do you have any ideas?
Well, maybe those airlines that aren't allowed to fly their airplanes will be feeling a bit lonely. And I think you have a story about someone else that was feeling a bit lonely, don't you, Tom?
That's quite good, yeah. The other thing I was thinking was maybe Qatar Airways had to ground some of its Airbus airplanes for a while. So I could talk about a Qatar Airways story now.
Go for
but
it.
No, I wanted to talk about Qatar Airways and a lion called Reuben. So this lion called Reuben is said to be the world's loneliest lion, but it's finally returned to freedom after 5 years of languishing in isolation in an abandoned Armenian zoo. So with assistance from an international wildlife charity called Animals Defenders International and Qatar Airways Cargo, Reuben has been flown to a wildlife sanctuary in South Africa to begin rehabilitation. So he was left abandoned when this private zoo closed down in Armenia 5 years ago. And he's basically been living in a small concrete cell for 5 years with no contact to other lions. So, you know, I'm really impressed that he's persevered through that, firstly. And ADI had plans in place to rescue Reuben and transport him to a more appropriate setting in which to live, but it was unable to find a suitable flight for him out of Armenia, which was the problem. So Qatar Airways Cargo stepped in to save the day and to keep Reuben's hopes for a happier existence alive. They organized a 5,200-mile journey to collect the 15-year-old lion and transport him to the animal sanctuary in South Africa. So he's now got his new home, and he's reportedly rediscovering his voice and finding his confidence as he roams the sanctuary. He's facing various physical challenges from years of neglect and captivity, but they're hoping that he'll make a full recovery in time. What I found, you know, I love me a quote in my stories. So speaking about this rescue mission to save the world's loneliest lion is what they've dubbed Reuben. Elizabeth Oudkirk, who's the Senior Vice President of Cargo Sales and Network Planning at Qatar Airways Cargo, said, "When ADI approached us and explained the sad story of Reuben, we immediately knew that we had to help them. There are lots of logistics involved in moving animals like Reuben, from the logistics at the airport, the process for loading and unloading the animals from the aircraft, ensuring the correct cages and well-being of the animals are in place. It takes a lot of effort from our team to organize such transport, but it's something we're all collectively very proud to be a part of, knowing we help to give back to our planet." So, you know, you may be wondering how Reuben is doing. I kind of touched on it a little bit, but since flying back to South Africa, he's really taken to his new surroundings. And I get the impression that he knows that he's a lion and he's finally able to accept that, you know, and to live out the life of a lion. So don't laugh at me, you know, like it's really good. But this isn't the first time that Qatar Airways has been involved in transporting animals to Africa who have been in captivity. I think it was some lions. There were three lions before, perhaps. I wrote about it maybe a year or two ago. And they fly through Doha. They get a special place with vets while they're in Doha to check that they're all okay. And, you know, like, because I guess flying is stressful for an animal that you know, they don't understand what flying is. But I think the only sad thing about these lions is that they will never really be truly wild, from what I understand, because they can't leave their animal sanctuaries because they don't have necessarily the animal social skills to survive out there in the big wide world of lionness.
to live out their lion lives.
Yeah, well, I mean, good for them though. You know, I think it's really nice to see that, you know, companies are taking the initiative to help these lions in need. It's really ridiculous the more I say about it, but no, it is a serious cause, and you know, kudos to Qatar Airways to
getting involved. Yeah, big airlines stepping up to donate their time and resources to do something good for the planet.
Because I mean, it's not going to be cheap to do that either.
No, I can't say I'd want to be the cargo handler personally, but I guess he was safely crated up at least.
Yeah.
So from the lion's den to another lion's den that Northern Pacific Airways has found itself in. You know, if there's one airline in the world that can't catch a break, it's this airline. And, you know, people do criticise us on Simple Flying for writing about them so much. But I really believe in Northern Pacific, and I think they had a great business plan. They've just had bad luck after bad luck. So, you know, if you go back to their beginning, they were launching in the time of COVID, where restrictions made everything so much more difficult. Their original plan was to fly between, you know, the lower 48 states and the Far East with a stop in Anchorage using Boeing 757s. You know, anyone who's keeping the lovely 757 alive is a winner in my books. But of course, then Russian airspace closed and their original business plan had to be thrown out of the window. And even then, you know, when they thought, right, let's just start doing some domestic flights so that we get our hand in and get the crews actually doing some work, get the planes off the ground, they had terrible trouble getting their certification and had to delay their inaugural flights. But now, of course, the airline is flying regularly scheduled services on its lovely 757s between Ontario and California and Las Vegas. So all's good, yes?
Ooh. Yeah, it would sound like it. No,
it's not. Now all is a disaster once again, because last October it was revealed that the Texas-based rail operator BNSF Railway had filed a suit against Float Alaska, which is Northern Pacific Airways' parent company, for trademark infringement. And now it seems like the outcome of that action has been decided, because NPA has received a preliminary injunction and must stop using the Northern Pacific name. So the airline does have a window to appeal this decision, but perhaps wisely, they've decided not to fight it. So I had a chat with the CEO of Northern Pacific, Rob McKinney, who explained why. He said, "We're acquiescing and moving forward. We've already gotten all the employees to rally around the new name. My goal is to minimise legal disputes and side battles that don't really add to the overall goal of moving passengers where they need to be and providing jobs for our employees. If this was between us possibly winning years down the road, but expending untold amounts of legal resources in the process, it was just better to stop the fight and move forward with a new brand." So, you know, they kind of don't have a leg to stand on, really. You know, BNSF does legally hold an existing trademark, Northern Pacific, and, you know, they've got some pretty strong ownership behind them, not to mention Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. You know, I think engaging with a legal battle as a startup airline on this scale would have been a very unwise move. So, you know, McKinney has tried to engage with BNSF multiple times to resolve the dispute amicably. He even wrote a letter to Warren Buffett in person and got zero replies. So, you know, ultimately the rail company just wanted to settle it through the courts, and that's what's been done. So to kind of recap what's happened, NPA tried to trademark Northern Pacific Airways, but it was denied on the grounds it might be confused with the BNSF's use of the Northern Pacific mark. So Float Alaska challenged this decision and petitioned to cancel BNSF's marks with the United States Trademark Trial and Appeal Board, arguing that the mark had been abandoned. BNSF responded by initiating legal proceedings and said that the mark had never been abandoned. you know, Northern Pacific Railway existed back in the 60s, 50s. It kind of disappeared when the railway merged with Burlington National in 1970, but the railway says that it's still in use today. From what I can see, its use is limited to a handful of anniversary locomotives for their that were reliveried for their 25th anniversary and various items of memorabilia, you know, t-shirts, mugs, that sort of thing. But, you know, the outcome has been decided anyway, and Northern Pacific must stop using that name in any of its trading. However, aviation is very heavily regulated and rather slow moving, so stopping immediately is just not going to be possible. But the court has given the airlines some breathing room. Rob told me that they've started the process and they've done as much as they can to move forwards to adopting the new name, and that they are taking it seriously. But obviously he can't officially change the name until the DOT and FAA say that they can. Well, you know, a lot of people will criticise Northern Pacific for not doing its due diligence. And I had to ask that question of Rob. You know, you'd think that they had a legal team out there checking if the name was okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my first question.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, McKinney explained that, yes, Northern Pacific did realise that there was a freight railway with the same name from 50 years ago, but at the time it deemed it to be a low-risk choice. He said, you know, that whenever you go to the market and you're looking for a new name, there's a spectrum between a very small risk and 100% risk. He reckons there's never zero risk. And, you know, I can kind of see that. Like, if you consider what else you could have called the airline, I'm actually stealing this from one of our commenters, but I thought it was a really good point. He said, you know, maybe they should have called it Northwest. Oh, no, you can't do that because Delta owns that one. Oh, what about Western? Oh, no, Delta owns that too. Transworld? Oh, no, AA owns that one. Western Pacific? Nope, that's been used. So, you know, it's not easy picking a name for a new airline when you're particularly when you're going on a geographical location like that, because they've kind of all been done before. But, you know, Rob admits that they made a judgment call, and in this instance, they made the wrong one. So, you know, they're having to deal with the fallout from that. It's going to be a long process to rebrand the airline. You know, apart from the huge job of repainting the aircraft in the fleet, it's going to be the website, the ticketing platforms, marketing material, everything else.
Is it though? Because, you know, like, I was looking at the fleet and I feel like they've kind of, from my opinion, just without knowing the background of the story, I thought, oh, that's a very clever change of name because it requires very little, because, you know, the URL of the website, I think, is already just np.com, and there's already the N on the tail. It's not, I didn't really see so much Northern Pacific branding as
NP.
That was my,
exactly.
My,
well,
two cents.
Tom's privy to a bit of information I haven't given the listeners just yet, because we haven't discussed what it will be called.
And Tom's
Tom's absolutely right, because they're rebranding to a name not a million miles from the original one, and it's going to be New Pacific Airlines. So they've actually already started using New Pacific Airlines in their company headed letters, their email signatures, you know, but the official changeover is waiting for regulatory approval. As Tom said, you know, the strategy was to retain as much as possible while still changing enough to make it happy for BNSF. You know, one of the points that I made to Rob was you've got an embroidered N on every seat on every airplane you own. So that had to stay, right? And he was like, yeah, definitely. They've also got the Navigator Lounge in Anchorage, which is always complete, which features a lot of N graphics. And you're right, actually, the planes, although they say Northern Pacific along the bottom, they can kind of, I guess that's like a trans, vinyl. They can just take those bits off and leave the big N, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see when the actual official rebrand comes out. But I feel like it's early enough in their journey that people don't really recognise the airline that much anyway. I mean, they've done a really strong job on marketing the brand and the colours and all that. But I think the transition has to be done. So, you know, I think the decision to not go down this road of a drawn out litigation was a very wise move. You know, that's money the airline can't afford right now. But, you know, it's unfortunate, and it's another thing, and it's the airline that's had the most knockbacks. But I have to say, you know, I am a bit of a fangirl of Northern Pacific. I do love Rob. I think he's a great CEO. And the thing that always gets me is whenever one of these kind of poop hits the fan moments crops up, they're always so positive. They're always smiling and saying, it's all right, we'll overcome this, we'll get on with it. And, you know, I think that's what you need in aviation more than anything else, is the notion that you get knocked down, but you get up again, as Chumbawamba once said.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I was saying about Ryanair with his O'Leary, with his cream cake. You know, if that had been, I'm not going to name other CEOs, but I'm sure other CEOs would have been bundled off in a car back to the hotel.
To go and have a shower and rest in their five-star
O'Leary
hotel room.
Just like eating it during the conference, you know.
tasty.
I did almost have this wonder of if that had been staged, you know, because suddenly, because he was, I'm thinking back to when there was that volcano and he said they're not going to refund passengers, even though they had every intention to, just because they were on every front page. And I wonder if that could be similar here, because I think, you know, oh, we're giving a petition to the EU. It's not really front page news, is it? But
no.
O'Leary
getting
gets cream
pie
in the face
of
a cream
definitely
pie.
Is.
It was everywhere. So, you
could
know,
it'd be some very clever marketing. Yes,
yeah,
could be.
We'll see. But, you know, Northern Pacific doesn't have any Airbus A380s, but Emirates does. So I wanted to talk about Emirates. In Tom's A380 podcast, I need to get like a little jingle there that we can put in. I'll speak to James. but if you wanted to own a piece of Emirates' first Airbus A380, then today is your lucky day. So you may remember back in early 2022, we revealed that parts of Alpha 6 Echo Delta Alpha's fuselage have been turned into baggage tags. And, you know, they went on a brief sale within Dubai for certain people. I think they were within the in the Emirates staff shops they were on sale, but you know, they kind of went quiet and we never really heard what was going to happen to them. Well, last week I got an email from my good friend Tobias at Aviation Tag saying, oh, I've got a cool story for you guys to run on Tuesday. And that was that Aviation Tag in Germany has somehow acquired the remaining tags and they've now got on sale. So would you want to own a piece of Airbus A380, Joe?
Yeah, why not? I've got a couple of pieces of 747 from the great pandemic retirement. Hmm. So why not have a piece of A380 to go with it?
Well, how much do you reckon that one of these pieces is going to cost?
Oh, I would hope under $50.
$65, roughly.
Oh, that's quite a lot.
But it is. But I think that it's really a lot of thought has been put into these because they've made 380 tags. I like that number. For each destination that the aircraft flew to. So there's 380 London Heathrow tags, there's 380 Frankfurt tags, there's even 380 Hamburg Finkenwerder tags, although those ones are sold out because it did land at that airport twice. Each of the tags comes with a certificate of authenticity, and it labels you know, how many destinations the plane flew to, 62 destinations. The aircraft carried 2.1 million passengers. It flew 55,863 hours, and it had 6,319 landings in total. And then when you flip them over, you get some details about the specific airport that you've bought. So say you bought the Dubai tag, it would tell you that its first Dubai flight was the 29th of July, 2008, and it landed at Dubai 2,437 times. So in total, there were 62 destinations carried, as I mentioned. So that's an awful lot of tags when you times that by 380. And all of them were available to purchase on Aviation Tag's website. However, you know, the quantity differed, and some of them have already sold out, for example, Finkenwerder and London Heathrow and Dusseldorf, strangely. I'm not quite sure why. You can understand the sort of odd ones. It's quite interesting, though, because at the same time, the same week that we're talking about scrapping the Airbus A380, we also had some interesting news from a little interview that my colleague Summit did with Richard Dewsbury, who's the Divisional Vice President of the UK at Emirates, because he told us that the youngest of the airline's A380s could well fly into the 2040s, which I think is a bit of an update, because my understanding was before, you know, when I'd spoken to some of the leadership people at Emirates, we were really looking at late 2030s. So early 2040s, you know, is amazing. I would put money on Emirates flying the last A380 just because of how many they've got. I think everyone else is going to retire the few ones earlier. And, you know, I would love to see a second-hand A380 somewhere again, like High Fly, but I think realistically it's not going to happen.
Not putting your money on Global Airlines then?
I will restrain my comments there.
Probably wise.
Yeah, if I don't say anything, then it's better than saying bad things, I think. No. But yeah, so, you know, it's a good week for aviation A380 lovers, I think.
Will you be buying a tag, Tom, or are you hoping to get a freebie from Aviation Tag?
No, you know, I'm toying with buying one, but I still, you know, I think it's just, personally, I think these are still ridiculously expensive. You know, as much as I love the A380, do I love it 60 euros? You know, I think a lot of listeners would say yes, but, you know, like at the end of the day, to me, it's
in the month when you've just shelled out 200 euros for the Lego Concorde.
Exactly.
It's a lot to justify.
And the Lego Concorde gave me 6 hours of fun.
How many hours of fun will a piece of A380 give you?
I don't know. It looks cool, but I've already got some pieces of A380 anyway. So, you know, yeah. I've got the first A380 from Singapore Airlines, I think, in my collection. So that's, I think, even higher. But yeah.
Good stuff. Well, yeah, get on the site and buy them if you want to get one, because it sounds like they're selling out like hotcakes. Well, I wanted to dedicate our last segment of the podcast to to Jeff, basically. Our listeners will be familiar with my dog, Jeff. He's a little rescue dog and he loves to join in the chat sometimes. And as much as our very, very good podcast editor likes to edit him out, he sometimes wiggles his way in. Anyway, I thought it would be cool to look at our furry friends and some of the aviation angles to dog stories over the last couple of weeks. So Delta was in the news back in August after a dog it was transporting was lost. So the dog's owner was flying into Atlanta, but when she arrived, she found out she didn't have the right visa to enter the USA. She was kept at a detention facility overnight and put back on a plane to the Dominican Republic the next day. When she got to the Domrep, she realised her dog wasn't on the flight and chased the airline for information, and was eventually told that her little Chihuahua had broken out of the kennel and had actually been missing since she landed in Atlanta. Well, weeks went by and no dog was found. The airline said that crews were doing everything to search around the clock for the pet, including using night vision goggles. They even flew the owner's mum to Atlanta to help with the search, bringing items of clothing so the dog could smell the familiar scent. Well, finally, after weeks of searching, at the end of last week, we got word that on September the 9th, airport officials had found the dog hiding near the North Cargo facilities. He was rescued and returned to his owner finally and is none the worse for wear for his adventure. Well, from a lost dog to a gross dog, because a couple on Singapore Airlines have been demanding a bigger refund than they've been offered because they were sat next to a drooling and farting dog in premium economy. So it was a Wellington-based couple, Jill and Warren Prez, who were headed to New Zealand and were on the first leg of their journey, which was a 13-hour flight from Paris Charles de Gaulle to Singapore Changi. They'd shelled out for premium economy for extra comfort, but unfortunately found themselves placed next to a passenger who had brought with them an emotional support dog. The lady traveller, Jill, told Stuff, "I heard this noise like a heavy snorting. I thought it was my husband's phone, but then we looked and realised it was the dog breathing. I said, I'm not having this sitting next to us for the whole trip." So the couple raised their concerns with the flight attendant and were told that the only available seats were in the back row in economy. As such, they decided to remain in their premium seats. But, you know, about halfway through the flight, the couple said that there was this smell that had become unbearable because the dog had been letting rip. You know, we all have that issue on airplanes sometimes with the pressurized cabin. The dog was also too big to really fit in its owner's seat, so it was lying on the floor and taking up legroom from their side. They weren't very happy about all this. They spoke again to a flight attendant and were offered a pair of seats in the front row of economy that had been reserved for cabin crew. They took the offer and saw out the rest of their journey in economy class. Well, following the flight, Singapore Airlines offered them $100 or 100 Singapore dollar, which is about $70 gift card for the Chris Shop website. They said this wasn't good enough and wrote back to the airline, who responded 3 weeks later with $117 worth of travel vouchers. They've said this is still not satisfactory, as they'd shelled out a lot more for a premium economy seat and now want a full refund for the first leg of their journey, which they claim was not the experience we paid for. So I was interested to hear that there was an emotional support animal on Singapore Airlines, because as far as I knew, they banned emotional support animals from flights in April. But the situation here was apparently that any bookings that were made before April, they were going to honour the emotional support animals being in the cabin anyway. So although there won't be any new bookings with emotional support animals, there could still be a trickle of emotional support dogs and other creatures coming through Singapore Airlines over the coming months. So Singapore Airlines said that it normally tries to notify customers who may be seated next to an assistance dog prior to boarding the flight. We sincerely apologise this did not occur in this case, and we'll work with our airport teams to ensure it doesn't happen in the future. My final canine aviation story, however, involves Indian startup Casa Air, which has this week made a police complaint against one of its own passengers because they released their dog from their carrier in the middle of the flight. So the passenger was travelling from Delhi to Goa, and apparently after takeoff, the dog was making some weird noises. So the dog took it out and put it on their lap to calm it down. This wasn't very well received by some of the other passengers on the plane. According to reports from Indian press, there was panic. I mean, from what I could hear, this dog was just sitting on the person's lap. Maybe people were more scared. Maybe it was a scary looking dog. I don't know. But despite repeat requests from cabin crew, the owner did not put the dog back into its crate. So the airline filed a police complaint upon landing in Goa. So unlike lots of other airlines, Acacia Air does allow pets in the cabin, but only those weighing under 15 pounds. Heavier animals have to be checked in. But the rules are that cabin pets must be kept in their containers for the duration of the flight. Some passengers aren't even happy with this rule and think that all pets should travel in the hold unless they're actual registered assistance dogs. I mean, this is a perennial issue in aviation, isn't it? Emotional support animals, assistance animals, two very different things, but the lines got blurred for a while there. I seem to remember early on in Simple Flying's career writing about an emotional support peacock travelling on a US flight. I mean, it got a bit crazy there for a minute, didn't it?
I remember we had a pony on a flight at some point, I think.
That's right.
Yeah,
there have been all sorts of weird and wonderful creatures, but I think globally the trend now is no emotional support animals, but you can take your registered assistance dog, you know, like a proper guide dog for the blind or something like that, which makes more sense. But anyway, this has been a very animal filled podcast.
Yeah, it's been lions, fun. Dogs.
We'll see what animals we can dig out for you next week. But I think that's about all we've got time for today. We do hope you enjoyed it and welcome your feedback at editorial@simpleflying.com.
For more great content, you can visit our website at simpleflying.com or find us on social media. Simply search for Simple Flying.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating on your favourite podcast player. Thanks for listening.
Bye.